welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This is number 45, by the way, and recorded July 22nd, 2003, at the Little Ranch House on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining all designed with the blind in mind. Here are the hosts for the Blind Handyman, Don Shaw.
That's right, Tom. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you, sir. Don Patterson.
Fine, great to be back on level ground.
Good to have you with us, sir. Tom Houston is my name. Now, here's the creator and the producer of the Blind Handyman Show. Here's Phil Parr.
He opened up his eyes, and he was back on level ground.
That's right.
But it took five more miles to shut her down. Don and I, Patterson and I, have just come off of a cruise that we went on. And I don't know, do we recommend them to people, Don?
Oh, it was great. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. Yeah,
absolutely, huh?
Yeah. Ask him how much his bar bill
was. No, let's not talk about that. Let's just say it was my bar bill was under with the warden's clothing. Yeah, it's the warden's clothing bill.
Well, we spent a little money on the cruise on lots of things, and I finally, after putting thousands of dollars in a slot machine, won $1,000.
Man, that's a deal.
Boy.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever... Remember that slot machine in Shreveport when I put $400 in?
Yeah.
Never got a damn
it
thing.
It just went...
Yeah.
Boy, it did. I could have dropped it down a rat hole.
Took it away.
But so I won a little on slots, and we ended a little... We did a little light gambling. And then,
well, after I got finished, the casino host gave me a little bag and a hat and a T-shirt, so I tell everybody it's my $400 hat and my $400 T-shirt.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Little bag's worth, you know... About $5.
Yeah, a couple of bucks.
Nothing T-shirt. He called me George.
George.
And speaking of cruises, and we were speaking of cruises.
We were.
We are working on getting a blind handyman cruise together. In other words, what we want to take is we want to take people on a cruise. You don't have to be a handyman. You don't have to be in anything to go on this cruise, which means Dave and Pam, you people can go too. And we want you to go.
Money. That's what you have.
All you have to have is money. I don't have yet an exact price on the thing, but there are two or three different levels of cabin. There's cabin without windows and cabins with windows. And I pointed out to the lady, don't be trying to tell us blind people our cabin has a window in it. If it doesn't, we'll not have that.
That's right.
I'm going to get some exact prices, and I'll post them on the handyman list and probably have them for you tomorrow. But this cruise is February 29th through March 7th. Is that right? Yeah, that would be right.
March
7th. So it's Sunday through Sunday. So if you're a worker, you just have to take a week off. And it leaves from New Orleans, and it leaves at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, so you don't have to fly in a day early. You can come in on Sunday, do the cruise, and then we'll make sure you get back to the airport. In other words, we'll get you from the airport to the ship. We'll get everybody from the airport to the ship and back from the ship to the airport. Now, if you come in through some other conveyance like train, I don't know how we'd do. We'd probably work something out. But we'll get you both ways. We will have a special channel set up with the family band radios, so if you get on the ship and you get lost, we'll come and help you. We'll have that set up. We'll have dog relief areas. We'll have every convenience we can think of for blind people, and I'm open to all ideas. This is February 29th through March 7th of next year. We'd like as many people to go as want to go. It's not cheap, but it's something that can be done, and it's something you ought to go do. We're going to plan on doing at least two blind handyman shows while we're on the ship, and it was recording two of them.
Uh-huh.
And do at least one blind like me while we're on the ship. So we'll do some shows on the ship. And as far as we know, unless this thing doesn't make, now there's a chance we won't do it, but we have until toward the end of September to decide. And, of course, you'll need to put up some money then and then put up some more when the cruise makes. But we'll know if we do what we think we're going to do, we're all four going to go. Is that right, guys?
Everybody's that's right.
Yeah.
That's what we're planning.
Yeah.
Everybody's planning on going.
And so, just a thing to throw out there, too, this was my first cruise.
Yeah.
Because I have good, pretty good partial vision. But whether you are with a group or not, or even a group sanctioned thing or not, cruising is very blind friendly. The people on the boat are real receptive. mobility impaired people. Seem to always be somebody there to help you. So I thought it was great.
Kind of once you get like our cabins that we had, and we're going to try to get cabins close together. But even if you don't, our cabins were down on one end of the boat, and there was an elevator on that end. There was an elevator in the middle, and there was an elevator on the other end of the ship. Now, some floors don't allow you to walk from end to end, but once you learn some basic things about the ship, it would be very navigable by a blind person with his cane or with his or her dog.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. And the stairs are elevators.
The stairs are elevators. You can take the stairs if you want to, and there's stairs. But, I mean, the ship is not going to change, and they're not going to put things out in the middle of the sidewalk so you can't walk. So once you learn that the dining room is on 8 and that the other dining room where they do breakfast is at the other end of 8, once you learn that, that's not going to move.
And nothing will change there, and that's great.
Nothing will change. The ice machine is going to be in the same place, your cabin, so it's all pretty blind friendly. If you want to go out on deck, you know that you can only do that on 9. Well, okay, so you just go up and you push 9 on the elevator. I don't know, were the elevators brailled, or did you see?
Did not pay attention.
Anybody notice
that? I'm kind of thinking they were. Seemed like I felt of one.
Well, if they're not, we'll braille them.
We'll ask them.
We'll take the label maker and braille them.
Yeah, just take a label maker.
Yeah, we'll just take the label maker and braille them.
Yeah.
If they're not brailled.
What a deal, man.
What are they going to do to us? Throw us off? We'd like to have you go in. What we're looking for, you know, if you can go, two girls can go, two guys can go. Couples, it'd be nice. You know, the cabins are 2, and so if you're going, well, you need somebody to go with you, so you need to share your cabin because they're 2-person occupancy, unless you want to pay a double fare. There's no way to go by yourself, so, you know, I don't care who goes, you know, gay, straight, or otherwise, or just take your friend or your bud, or 2 guys can go, 2 girls can go, 2, you know, whatever, but we don't care. But we're looking for couples, 2 people to go. We want you to go on this cruise with us. I'll have some exact prices, and let me just give you, my email address is just philparr@txucom.net. My phone number is 936-634-9500. If you're interested, call me. That's 936-634-9500. Thank you, salesman Phil Barr.
Right.
Taking up enough time. Let's get a handyman cruise together, go do some handyman shows, and have a good time. I think it'll be a lot of fun. We get to meet a lot of people you don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got an article, Phil, today that we took from the St. Petersburg Times. It's written by Colleen Jenkins. She's a Times staff writer.
All right.
And it's regarding a workshop for blind carpenter.
That's here.
And where there's now only a foundation, there will be a classroom for those without sight to learn woodworking. Hernando, that's the future home of a warehouse and workshop for products made by the blind, doesn't yet look like much. Only a 10,000-square-foot slab of poured concrete and stacks of curb steel sit unimposingly off the side of a stretch of State Road 200.
Okay.
Now, Bob Croker can't see the foundation of the building, and even though he's doing most of the construction, he'll never see it in finished form. But the founder and president of Citrus County's Blind Americans Incorporated has an ambitious plan for the 12,500-square-foot structure clearly mapped out in his mind. By early next year, the 61-year-old Hernando man expects to be teaching 15 fellow blind individuals from around the country how to become skilled carpenters.
Hmm.
Then he wants some of them to take their craft and return home as journeymen to pass on the trade to more blind people. He hopes the others will stay in Citrus County as instructors for a new batch of students. Now, Crocker and his apprentices will build wood cabinets, chests, and hutches, and they will sell their handiwork. Habitat for Humanity has agreed to purchase the kitchen cabinet units. Mm-hmm. The blind workers will make a living, or at least supplemental income, Crocker says. He's been pushing and pleading for the program for more than a dozen years, and he knows it sounds grand for a remote corner of Citrus. He thinks it will be the only program of its kind in the United States, but don't dare tell him the idea isn't plausible. Don't even hint at skepticism. Blind people are really capable of doing the stuff we're doing, he said, almost testifying. I believe a blind person can do any darn thing they want to if they want to do it.
Yep.
He's right.
And let's see, Croker already is championing the viable skills of Citrus County's 4,000 blind residents at the Wishing Wells Center, a sort of school and community center run by Blind Americans Incorporated in Hernando. He leads a weekly woodworking class, and a small shop at the center showcases the work of his students' wooden stools, wicker, and wooden rocking chairs and tall cabinet units. The current students are developing the skills needed for a full-fledged factory, but the center has no place to store their goods, hence the need for the new building, Crocker says. The center also teaches Braille, computer and typing skills. It provides arts and crafts classes. Participants range in age from the late teens to the mid-90s. Mid-90s, goodness.
Yeah.
A recent arts and crafts session involved piecing together picture frames with cardboard, cotton backing, and colorful fabrics. The group also made angels out of bow tie pasta noodles. Their progress was guided by Beth Becky Kennedy, a volunteer whose sight is not impaired. And Crocker said it works well for someone with sight to monitor such activities to make sure students are on the right track.
Oh, yeah.
But he has a different outlook when it comes to the woodwork currently fashioned in two crowded rooms of the Wishing Wells campus of clustered buildings. The problem with most schools for the blind, he says, is that the teachers can see. As a result, they inevitably teach techniques suitable for seeing people.
Uh-huh.
There's a sure road to failure for the blind, Crocker says. He thinks the sight impaired need to learn blind-specific techniques for using the tools and machines necessary in woodcraft, and only blind instructors can easily relay the information effectively, he said. We need to make sure we don't get our fingers chopped off in a saw. We see with our fingers. If we lose them, we've got problems.
That's true.
I would think
yeah,
so.
Definitely true.
As evidence that he knows what he's talking about, Crocker holds up his hands. You see all my fingers, he asked, wiggling all 10. I haven't lost the tips or nothing. Later, he explains his viewpoint this way. Blind people know what blind people go through to get where they need to go. Sight
yep.
people do not. Blind people can do things their way, not the sighted way. The ideal candidates for Crocker School would have followed a similar path as the teacher, those who were born with functioning eyes and were schooled in the ways of carpentry before going blind. Now, Crocker was a successful contractor for custom-built homes in Clearwater when he lost his sight to diabetes and glaucoma nearly 20 years ago. His wife of 23 years left him, unable to adjust to his new lifestyle, and then doctors urged him to close his business, so Crocker said he came to die. He came to die on the 10 acres of property he owned on the Wichita River. I hope that's right. He was lonely, and he was feeling sorry for himself when he met Evelyn, a blind woman, and she sparked a new fire for life in him.
All right.
And they fell in love and married. Then he embarked on a two-year tour of the United States looking for a program that helped the blind to become more independent. Now, in Dallas, he found a factory where blind people did work with plastics. It seemed like a concept worth replicating, and the journey since, however, has progressed excruciatingly slowly, in Crocker's opinion. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been all that impressed with the state's blind services division.
Oh, well, yeah, I can't imagine.
Really.
Officials there don't seem sure his plan will work, he said, but he was pleased.
Because it wasn't their idea.
Yeah, probably so.
Right.
But he was pleased to finally receive a $50,000 grant from the state to pay for the new building steel.
All right.
Now, the state has pledged to cover the remaining $50,000 Crocker will need to finish it, he said. Also, the county's community support services have applied for a grant to furnish a bus that would transport woodworking students to the Wishing Well Center. Now, meantime, however, Crocker and Jim Maka, a 42-year-old blind man from Hernando, are working to fasten more than a quarter million bolts for the warehouse's structure.
Whoa.
Maka, a former physics teacher, lost his sight in an accident at age 26. Most days, the men toil along, and that's a shame, according to volunteers and acquaintances of the men. When Judy Hall, a neighbor of Crocker and Maka in the Arrowhead community, happened upon them holding up a giant steel pieces, she couldn't believe they were undertaking the project with so little help. So she wants to organize some Saturday work sessions that would bring out additional volunteers.
Yeah.
Every time I'm around these people, they just completely baffle me, she said. Bob is hell-bent on getting that building up. Kennedy, the volunteer, says, I'm sure it's going to happen, but we do desperately need help. It's a really big job, and it can't be done by just a few people. Crocker, stubborn as he is, would welcome the aid, but he won't let a lack of it stop him. Last week, he and Mecca were busy bolting down the frame of the warehouse. Where are you at, Jim? Bob asked as he approached the construction site. Right here, Jim replied, sitting in the dirt with his guide dog, a German shepherd named Gidget. Don't run into me. And as Bob walked closer, Jim asked, "How close to the end am I, Bob?" "You're there," Bob said, feeling out the end of the foundation with his cane. The foundation of the building was finished, but there are hundreds of thousands of bolts to go until the dreams of the warehouse and factory of the blind in Citrus County materialize.
Right. That's great.
Hip, hooray. Yeah.
And these guys, I wish, wouldn't it be nice if we had a month off and we could take a travel trailer and go down and help them?
Really?
Well, man,
what
is it? Wouldn't it?
I could sit in the shade and drink, and y'all could.
What a deal, man!
Yeah, see, I didn't realize till the end they're going to build the building, aren't they?
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I mean, not only, but then they've got Habitat for Humanity, which is the deal that Jimmy Carter was involved in that builds houses for indigent people. Are going to buy. So they're going to build, and there's no reason why, because a cabinet is a cabinet, and if you learn how to make the mold that goes around it, you'd make 10,000 of them.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You'd set the saw guide and you'd cut 10,000, and then you'd cut 10,000 middle shells, and you know, there's no reason why blind people can't do that. But period, you know, assemble cabinets. There's no reason why we could do it if that's what we. That's a great project.
I need
to talk to this guy.
Yeah,
really. I think the same thing.
He'd be a wonderful blind like me guest. Or be even better guest on this show because he's determined.
Determination, man.
A little disappointed with the state agency there.
I can't imagine that.
You know, they don't like it because it wasn't their idea. And because they didn't think of doing it, and they're not really too much interested in helping blind people. They're interested in saving their butts and their jobs. That's what they want.
Yep.
And I want them to save them. I just want them to help some blind folks, you know?
Yeah, like I say, 3 cheers for this guy.
I bet he's a 501c3 or what do we bet?
Could be.
I'd say.
Probably
well,
so.
That music in the background means that we're going to take a little break, and we have who coming?
We have Doug Rose coming up.
Doug Rose, who has done so much for this show, and we owe so much to. He's helped us a whole lot. And we're going to visit with Doug Rose, who's a good friend of Tom Houston's, in just a minute. More of the Blind Handy Man.
Right.
Hang on. Be right back.
Hotmail.com. Contact information. Blind like me. Blind like me. Lowercase all one word at txucom.net. That's blind like me at txucom.net. Contact information. Blind handyman listserv. Blind handyman subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's blind handyman subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Contact information. Blind handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind handyman subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your contact information. Do you remember
Simmons and Andy?
Harry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture.
Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Kondo. The Magician.
The Incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous Assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otr.com.
WSCAT.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
ACB Radio Mainstream, the talk of the blind community. This is the Blind Handyman. We invite your correspondence at our address, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. To be a part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, with more of the Blind Handyman, here's Tom Houston.
Well, what do you know? I'm going to get to introduce somebody today on the Blind Handyman show, and this is quite a change on my head. But our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Doug Rose, and we have him on the telephone right now. And let me turn the little pot up here. Hi, Doug.
Hi there, Tom.
Hey, there you are.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you. Everything going okay?
Yeah, are you keeping those guys in line over
Well,
there?
I'm trying to. I'll tell you what, it's a job, though.
Yeah, that's greater.
It is quite a job.
That's
what
I got to worry about, isn't it?
Well, all three of them are bigger than me, for one thing.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I kind of resent that.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not all of them. But a couple of them are.
We're the blind leading the blind toward more independence, and Tom Houston is the blind leading the blind across the river.
That's right.
Or driving the blind across the river.
Further. Anyway.
You got it.
How are you, sir? You good?
Yeah. Doing well over here.
We would have to say that this show owes a lot to you. You were the first one that got our archives together and that did the labeling that put us where you'd know what each show talked about, and obviously that took some time and some skill on your part. And I don't know if we thanked you last time, but I want to publicly thank you for all you've done for us, sir.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to do it.
We needed that done, and we may have the skills now to do it, but at the time you did it, we didn't have the computer skills to do it.
Sure.
And it needed to be done, and we thank you for doing it. And I understand that you went back and listened to the last show to see what we talked about. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because we're not going to know. All right,
okay.
So what we're going to have to do with this interview is you're going to have to tell us what to ask you.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought what we might
Because we don't have any idea. We don't have any idea where we are.
I don't either, so it'll work out.
You don't either. Now, I've forgotten your visual acuity. You're total?
Yeah, I'm total.
You're total? Were you born that way?
Pretty much. I could see a little bit until I was about 5 and been messing around with building and all that for quite a while. And that helped from my... good family. My dad was, he could fix about anything, it seemed like.
One of those kind of guys, yeah.
Yeah, he was hired by the neighbors. He was a welder and a farmer, and all the farmers around there hired him to repair things.
Uh-huh.
And I liked hanging out in the shop. And they let me do all kinds of things that some parents wouldn't let their blind kid do, and that's what I enjoy now, working with my hands.
Well, that's the way, if you're going to raise a successful blind child, that's the way to do it.
Exactly.
Let them be themselves. Let them be, if they run into a tree, it's okay.
Yep.
If they burn their hand, well, that's all right. Sighted kids burn their hands, too, and hit their thumbs.
Sure they do.
And things. So what do you do now? Are you still working? I've forgotten.
Yeah. Right now, you're talking to me from a job I go to 2 days a week. It's called Lighthouse of the North Coast.
Uh-huh.
We're a satellite office of a group out of San Francisco called the Rose Resnick Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Yeah.
And we're a new office about a year old, and we offer vision rehab services to people 55 and over that are losing their vision in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what I do. And then the other part that we had briefly touched on in show 23 was about building ponds and everything surrounding that.
I remember. I do remember now. That's right.
Remember that?
Now it's all, it's been that we've done so many.
I know. Congratulations.
We talk. I think this is 45, and now we're doing the Blind Like Me show. That's right. You're the guy who builds ponds for people.
Water ponds.
And knows all about keeping the water clean and
plants,
how to move it around and plants. And so you and your wife have built a few of those for folks.
Yeah, we've been in on that and quite a bit of infrastructure for ourselves. We're in about our second year of what we call the Rose Pond Aquatics business. And that took a lot of building of plant stands and ponds and what she calls them water beds, where she raises out the plants.
That's good.
Yeah.
They basically look like a wooden box with a liner inside.
Uh-huh.
And those are above ground. But if somebody wants to have a nice little pond, say, in their yard, it's not too hard to do, other than I know Don Shaw complained about the digging.
Yeah. Man, that digging is...
Well, you can't. We're old, and we don't.
Hire a teenager and.
That's a thought.
Well, Doug, this is Don Patterson.
Yeah, hi,
talk
Don.
To you again. I noticed in the last show we talked about some of the actual construction, but it also sounds like with your business, would you say a big part of your business that y'all have going is just not necessarily digging the people's pond, but like people who already have ponds coming and buying your plants? And
yes.
Or do y'all do any like goldfish type? Y'all in the fish business too, or
Well, we
the
have
plants?
Fish just because that's part of a healthy pond.
Yeah.
She sells some aquarium type fish to the local, pet stores.
Right.
But most of our business per se has been selling to local retailers like the garden and the home centers.
Yeah.
Right.
The three or four that we have in this small community, different water plants, water lilies, what they call marginals. Those are the plants that are in less deep water and set out on the margin of the pond.
Right.
Grasses and so forth. But, yeah, and why we don't really do the pond construction for other people is because you're supposed to have a contractor's license.
Right. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
But we do the – we could consult or give ideas like we're doing here on let's say I want to build a pond. I would say the average person tries to use one of those preformed ponds,
right,
made out of plastic. They already have a shape, and you dig a hole and sink it in the ground, typically. And those are okay, but if somebody's going to go to all that work, what I would advise is decide what shape you want and dig out the soil. And then get some of this rubber liner. It feels just like a rubber inner tube, except it's flat. And I would put that in. That one of the reasons is you typically can make the side straight up and down, and you're less likely to have problems with raccoons and birds and so forth getting in there. And messing it up.
If they're straight up and down. As opposed to slanting sides where a raccoon can walk down and get in there? Is that what you're saying?
You got it, Phil. That's exactly why.
That makes sense. But,
yeah. It's like the rat in the trash can, you know?
Yeah.
And he got in there and got that food, but he couldn't figure out how to get out.
Get back out.
Couldn't come up with a way to get out.
Now, if you're not too concerned about that kind of thing, and you just want to have a starter pond, you can get the preform ones, but usually they don't make them deep enough. It's one of the problems.
Now, this rubber stuff, what form does it come in? How does it come in, rolls or?
Yeah, you can buy it at your local home center in a roll. They're usually 5, 10, 20 feet wide. Or, like, if you go on the net or go to a roofing place, you can have them actually cut you a piece or make you a piece the size you want. Like, our big pond we put in holds about 1,200 gallons. And the one part where we needed a liner, I think we just ordered one 20 by 20. So the thing you're going to want to consider, some people forget this, is you're going to want to think about the distance across the bottom of your pond, and then add the two sides going up. And then leave yourself a little extra so you can somehow work your edge and trim it off whenever wherever you need to.
How do you seam this together? Do you hot seam it some way?
They have glue that you can glue the rolls together. Uh-huh. Or the piece we bought, they'd already like hot seamed it at the factory. Uh-huh.
So this is the same type of stuff that they use to build to do rubber roofs with.
Yeah.
To do the okay.
Some people have advised us against that. We've talked to others that have used that roofing rubber. It's about the one we got is about 40 mils thick.
Yeah.
And sometimes some people told us they had problems because it had a fungicide on it and it killed their fish.
Ah.
But if you, another good thing to think about when you get that first pond set up, it's going to take 3 or 4 weeks to reach what we call like a balance.
And you look at that just like with test strips, just like you do a pool.
Yeah, you can do that. And if you're not able to handle those, like my wife does that part of it since she can see. But I can almost tell by what's going on with the pond if it's healthy.
Well, Doug, is the rubber then is the pond. I mean, you don't put anything over it, like concrete or a mortar. I mean, the lining is the pond, right?
That's right. Now, underneath it, what we do and people usually do is they put some kind of cloth, or we've just went down to the people that are throwing away old carpet.
Right.
And at least put it on the bottom where you're going to set the rubber.
Uh-huh.
Just to make sure nothing, no sharp rocks or...
I gotcha.
Okay. And this rubber, how long will it last, like in years? Do you have an estimation that
forever? Probably longer than you and I.
Forever and ever, wouldn't it?
It'll go a long time.
Well, now, but this fungus that you said was on it, so they've sprayed it with something to some sort of chemical. But is that true or not? I mean, is that...
We've heard conflicts on that, Phil. So some people said they used it and didn't hurt their fish, and... We're going to redo our big one next year, and my wife says we're going to use that. We're not, because it's, I think, considerably cheaper than what they sell you through the pond places.
So, which is what you have in yours now?
Yeah, we have the, she bought the big sheet, you know, cut to 20 by 20 from some pond place originally.
So, in other words, if you buy it as a liner for ponds, it costs a lot more than if you buy it like you're going to use it on a roof.
Right.
I got you. I'm with you.
Now, another cost, of course, is you're going to want to circulate that water, and how often do you want to circulate the water? Typically, they say in the industry, if you, say, got a 200-gallon pond, every hour you'd want to circulate about half of it, so 100 gallons.
You need a pump that'll pump at least 100 gallons in an hour, that's the formula you were going with.
That'd be the formula. And one thing I would caution people is do not get the pumps that have the epoxy coating on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You're just throwing your money away. Look for one that's either a plastic coating or some kind of metal that's resistant to much corrosion.
Stainless steel or something?
Yeah.
Now, these pumps are submersible, immersible? So what's the word I'm looking for?
Mostly on the smaller ones, it's submersible. People use them, and then there's a line coming out.
Mm.
Typically, you want to have a nice little waterfall where you send the water back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see that was what my wife sold me on finally putting one of these in, was the nice sound she said it would make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first one we put in, well, it was a pump that only did about 400 or 500 gallons an hour.
Yeah.
You get a little trickle, but I wanted like a creek running, you know.
You wanted waterfall. You wanted Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I wanted Niagara Falls.
Also, you want the sound of the water to be louder than the that the pump creates.
Yeah, that's where I'd asked you guys before about soundproofing box.
Putting it in
a
box.
Yeah, we talked about that. Of course, you know what you could do is put the pump around somewhere and run PVC pipe to it.
That was my original contention. It's taken me about 3 years to convince my wife those pumps are really made to do that.
Yeah. Why would it hurt? What would be the difference?
Yeah, now she's convinced it's okay, so next year we're going to move it, and I won't really have to worry that much about the sound.
About the noise.
They would have, when we built this house, had I let them, they would have put the swimming pool stuff right on the back of the house. And I said, hell no, we're putting it around to the end. Well, that's going to cost a lot more and take a lot more line.
Yeah.
But yeah, that PVC pipe is at least $4 for, you know, is at least 11 cents a foot or whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah,
so
I'm,
you know,
concerned about the capacity of the pump, but they make, you know, like we have basically a swimming pool pump that will do 2,900 gallons an hour.
Oh, sure.
And so you've got a pretty big pond then, don't you?
Yeah, and it makes a nice waterfall sound. I'd let you hear it, but of course I'm at work. But maybe I should send you a sound file or something.
And maybe you could do that. Huh. But you're going to move yours around to the end of the house where you can't hear the.
Right.
And we had our friend Don Patterson here, bought him a house, and sure enough, there right by the patio was this big 5-ton air conditioner unit, and you could talk as long as it was off. But when it fired up, there was no conversation on the patio. So you had it moved, didn't you, Pat?
I moved it, yeah. I had it moved.
Had it, and they'll do that. So you got to remember, if you're building a house, you need to remember that. Make them put, because they'll, you know.
And it's right. amazing what 25 feet will do, you see, especially around the corner.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a major deal. And the noise just disappeared.
Well, it's the copper, you know, the supply and the push and pull line, whatever they are, supply and demand, whatever the lines are, you know, the hot line and cold line. So, you know, it's just the price of the copper and a little slab. So.
Yep.
Anyway, well, so yours sounds like a waterfall now.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's
yeah.
best sleep I've ever had. And I enjoy, I like some of the maintenance. It sounds nuts, but. I like to get in there, and we have we just took a swimming pool skimmer basket and put it at the end where it pulls the water out. Mm-hmm. I like cleaning that, make sure that's clean.
I wish you were here. You could come by every week and do mine.
Open a pool, sir.
I said I like doing mine.
Yeah.
Then I like, you'll get occasionally some of what they call the string algae.
Okay.
I think that's kind of fun to pull out. And
yeah, what a deal.
Well, you know, we had, of course, before we started doing this, myself and Don Patterson and Don Shaw, we thought about, looked for something that we could do to maybe, you know, we considered we're the company that'll do anything. And then we talked one time at length about the hot dog stand. And we talked at length one time about doing a pool service, because that would be something I think a blind guy could do that.
I think so.
As you know, of course you'd have to have a driver. You'd have to have a driver, but you get a feel. I mean, I don't have to ask my wife what my pool looks like. I know if I put in the summertime from the middle of May to the 1st of September, if I put 5 tablets a week in my pool skimmer, it's uh-huh. going to look all right. I know that because I've done it for years.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have to ask anybody that, you know. And if it gets to looking a little dirty, I know if I put 6 or 8 pounds of chlorine in, it's going to clear it up. I know that. And
yep.
so you wouldn't have to have a sighted person sometimes to
right.
get it started in the spring. But that, you know, that would be. And who would think of a blind guy building ponds? I mean, that's not something normal.
Yeah,
the average blind guys do, you know.
It's true.
But you do, don't you, huh?
Yeah, I love it.
All right, now we talked about all this last time. I thought we were going to talk about new stuff.
the lighthouse you were talking about?
Yeah.
Don't they, Doug, have a reading radio service that's affiliated with them?
Yes.
Rose Resnick does, yes.
Because I think we have just sent some handyman shows to them.
They're running us in California, yes.
Yeah.
Good.
We just sent
they're running a...
43 of them to them, in fact.
But this lighthouse that you are affiliated with teaches what now? Teaches older blind people mainly for
the adjustment skills of starting to live with a vision loss.
You mean like maybe cooking or house cleaning or what?
Right, or getting them set up with magnification or just letting them know about talking book program or.
You work through your state agency or just kind of own your...
We're funded, this particular branch is funded right now through a state grant.
Uh-huh. Are you the director?
No, our director is in the San Francisco office.
In a what?
San Francisco
office.
He said this was a satellite to the...
Oh, this is a satellite.
Right.
Okay, but you do some of the teaching.
Yes, teaching, information referral calls.
Yeah.
What a deal.
Well, we should have probably talked about that, shouldn't we?
Well, it's good to talk to him anyway.
Well, get it all straight, Doug, one of these days. You need to help us. We need help bad. We're just poor old blind men stumbling around. And you're seem like a very well-adjusted blind fellow. I tell you what I might like to do. I might like to do it. Did you hear our Blind Like Me? Are you familiar with our new deal that we're doing, Blind Like Me?
I heard that it's going to, I've heard about it.
It's on. It was on Friday night, and they're going to be archived. So the first one is there. The next one will be on. We'll have a cooking show on Friday night. Dale Campbell is going to cook two or three different things. And you might, I might talk to you in a few weeks about doing maybe an hour of Blind Like Me show and talk about you and your childhood and what you teach now and what you've done and places you've been and a world you conquered. What do you think, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
That'd work all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, listen, good talking to you. We're going to go and explore a couple other things and let you get back to work.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Doug.
Be safe.
And we'll talk to you in a day or two.
Bye, okay. Doug.
Doug Rose from, I can't remember what town, but anyway, we'll talk about that a little later. And we'll have more of the Blind Handyman Show. Isn't that nice? Coming up in just a minute.
One word at hotmail.com.
That's blindhandyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me.
Blind like me.
Lowercase all one word at txucom.net.
That's blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind handyman listserv.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
That's blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind handyman at hotmail.com.
Blind like me at txucom.net.
Blind handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Email us often and give us your opinion.
If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Do you remember
2000 Lux Simmons and Andy?
Harry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture.
Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Kondo. The Magician.
The incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous Assignment.
Dimension X. Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
This is the Blind Handyman on ACB Radio Mainstream. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right. You know your water hose that you have out in your front yard hooked to your water faucet, Mr. Houston?
Yes, sir.
It's something that you never really think much about, at least until you have trouble with this water hose.
Exactly.
And when I say trouble, I mean like, you know how the water hose will flatten out or it'll have a giant half twist kink in the water hose or something like that.
I've had that happen.
And you got to follow it along and untwist it and mess with it. You know, it gets hot in the laying out in the sun, and man, it flattens out, and all these different problems one could tend to have with the water hose.
Yes, sir.
And man, we've had them all those problems. We stumbled up on a little deal at our home improvement store here a week or so ago. Out in the front yard, we had a short water hose. It might have been, I don't know, 50 or 75 feet long. And just kind of the water around the front yard, some plants on the front porch, things like that. Anyway, I mean, I always had trouble with it. Have to coil it up every time. Had problems with the hose getting kinks in it. Just all that kind of good stuff. And it just got to be a pain in the neck.
I said,
man, there's got to be something better than this. We was just kind of looking around, and sure enough, at the home improvement store, we look at this new kind of water hose. It looks kind of different. It looks like the air compressor hose in Phil's shop, that coil, that yellow coil hose.
Yeah.
It looks like a telephone wire, sort of a cord, a receiver cord.
Okay.
And it's sort of that same kind of deal, that the water hose is in a coil. It's just bigger than an air compressor hose, but it's got the fittings on both ends that, of course, are the correct size, and it doesn't get kinks in it. It's a 50-foot water hose. You twist it out to the length that you need it. You just stretch it out, and when you let it go, it's like a phone cord.
It flips back up.
And flips back up.
Boy. That's wild.
It doesn't kink. You know, you can't twist it over itself. It keeps its shape. It just we haven't really used it too long yet, but so far, man, it's worked fine, and sure haven't had any problems with it. And that's sure an improvement over the old type of water hose. And I've seen two types. That one that looks like the air compressor hose, and then they make a water hose that's on a reel that looks like a fire hose.
It's just flat.
It's flat
when it's
not being used. And that looked like a neat deal, too. It just we'd pick this one. But both of them really seem like good ideas.
I would like to hear about this hose maybe a year from now, because I am the one guy in the world that could get his telephone coil cord to roll up backwards and twist, and I never could get it untangled.
Yeah.
So that water hose would probably beat me to death, but I'd like to follow up on that.
And if you needed more than 50 foot, you know, of course, you would just buy the second hose and screw it to the end of the first one, which is threaded, by the way, so you could put a sprinkler or a second hose onto it.
You know, they've made great improvements in the connections on water hoses. Used to, it was a little bitty thing, and if they were on there too long, you couldn't get them off never could get them.
Yeah.
But the last water hose I bought had its connecting thing was probably 6 or 8 inches long and kind of octagon-shaped. I mean, the threads inside were the normal, but you can twist.
And it had handholds on
those
each.
Those are a lot.
And it will not leak. You cannot, I mean, it screws on there, and it doesn't leak.
You can do it with your hand, and it's meant for, I mean, how long
did it take
people, you know, and the gas caps that are on new cars have a cord on them that's tied to the gas tank. How long did it take manufacturers to come up with that? In your new house, when you go get under your sink, you'll find that the trap is attached with hand-tightened big nuts, those big things. They're not wing nuts, but they are wing nuts the way these are built.
Yeah.
But they're hand, they're plastic, and they're hand tightenable. They aren't octagon where you got to go, oh, I have a wrench that big.
Hardware
store and buy one, or hell, these vice grips will work, won't they, Arthur? You know, and then you've ripped off, you've got all the little corners of the nut, you've screwed it up, and now you're
all kinds of trouble.
I'll take it off with my teeth, by God. That kind of stuff, you know?
That's right.
But these are hand tightenable. I mean, how long did it take them to come up with that?
Yeah, well,
you know, they just didn't ask.
And same thing with the new flexible hoses.
Water
hose,
you know,
your water supply up to the sink. You know, flexible.
That's right.
Easy
they're
to tighten.
They're a flexible hose. You don't have to get it just right and thread the pipe up in there and hope that little expansion thing expands.
Just
put it up on there, screw it down, and kabingo.
You're good to go.
And so we've had stretchy telephone cords now for 25 years. So now they've finally gone, oh, geez.
Why did it take that long to come up? But then why didn't I think of the idea? It's a damned fine idea.
They wouldn't have paid you. It's like Pat said when we first got twist-off caps, he said, And if I'd have thought of that, they'd have probably given me the Pearl Beer Distributorship in Guadalajara.
You know. That's it.
So, you know,
well, okay, y'all, I like gadgets. And so the water hose sounds good. But
yeah,
tell us about getting his van today. They gave me a ride over to do the show. And
You wasn't helping you move or anything, was he?
Yeah, Shaw Boy was over there helping us move. Shaw, I needed a little muscle, and he's 10 years younger. You
know, moved a few things.
He's our man. Anyway, so I climb in the van, and he goes, "Hey, Pat, look at this." Anyway, so tell him about it, Donald.
Yeah, it's a deal that would be good for your handyman projects there if you got someone driving you to the work site, so to speak.
Yeah.
It is a refrigerator, drink holder, console, all built into one unit that goes between the bucket seats in your car or in your van.
Yeah.
Or if you have an SUV with the cigarette lighter in the back of the vehicle. Uh-huh. You could plug it into there. Any 12-volt cigarette lighter plug you can plug this gizmo into. And it holds like 16 drinks. Of your choice. It's
16?
16.
Man. Goodness.
Yeah. You don't have to
use. Hold 16 drinks?
Yeah, 16 canned drinks of your choice. This thing will hold. And it's got a little motor in it and a little refrigeration coil. It's actually a little refrigerator is what it is.
It plugs into your 12-volt.
They make some recommendations with it, though, Don.
And the recommendations are that they say if you take one of the little ice gizmos that you freeze in your freezer and put it in your take it out and put it in your ice chest, if you put one of those in the ice box in the refrigerator, or if you put in cold drinks, either one, out of your home refrigerator into that.
That would help.
They just say it'll help cool it down quicker. Mm-hmm. They say if you put the drinks in hot and everything's warm, that it could take up to 2 hours to cool it off.
Well, sure it could. And the thing would have to run all the time.
And it'd have to run
all
the time.
And you know what's so neat about it is every vehicle now, in fact, my newest little scooter that I'm interested in has the 12-volt DC thing for your cell phone, and the jet ski.
The jet ski
that the
one.
Warden just bought has one. So you could put this puppy on your jet ski and just go all day with your cold drinks.
Strap
really
it down
neat.
And you'd be good to go, man.
Well, and every SUV now has a cigarette lighter
in the back.
Yeah. Ours had one. I don't know if the Suburban or this one does. Ours had one by the back door, the rear cargo
ours
door
does,
that you open.
Yeah, the little Honda
was
does.
Way back there in the back, so you could plug in your air pump to air up your thing. So they're getting more 12-volt things. So this would just sit, if you have a Tahoe, it would just sit between those two back seats in my Tahoe, wouldn't it?
It would. And what's neat about it is when you get your canned drink of your choice out, it's got the can holder or the cup holder on the back of the little gizmo to put your drink down into to hold it. And now, the only thing they say about it is that if you're going to be in and out of your car, or if you were traveling and a business person or whatever, traveling throughout the day, to leave it plugged in. Everything's cool. They just say if you're going to be gone, like if you're going to be parked overnight, to unplug it.
And, of course, like I say, I don't know which manufacturers do. Unfortunately, the little Honda, when we turn the key off, it kills everything.
Well, I was fixing to ask that question.
And so I don't know if some cars do, some don't.
In our van, we don't have that problem. It's just on
John Henry
time,
with his diesel truck, he forgot. I bought him a charger for his phone. It's my father-in-law. And we went to Padre Island. And he said, did you bring the charger for your phone? Well, no, but I'll charge it in the car. Uh-huh. Well, he took it down and plugged it in his car, and it didn't charge because when he cut the key off.
It cuts all the.
So I don't know.
That may be something on the new vehicles that.
But our
caravan stays on all the time.
They stay on all the time.
The 12-volts are on.
Well, you could go check that. That would be easy checked.
Well, and oddly enough, see, I don't know if the plugs in the back of the car turn off. That might be a little research
maybe
project.
They would stay on all the time.
What is yours? What is y'all's, Pat?
Honda CRV.
So y'all's a Honda, and mine's a GMC, or it's a General Motors product, and John's is a Dodge. So next week we'll have the answers to these questions.
Yeah. And you know one thing about that, Phil.
And then Tom has
Old Blue.
I have a little Chevrolet.
Chevrolet.
So we were going to drive to, what did the guy say the other? Did you see that email where the guy said, I know y'all are driving to the next convention in Tom's old car. Did you see that?
No, how could they talk about old blue like that?
Well, they said I had a Valiant, and that is not true.
That is not so. It just gives
shame on you,
a little Chevrolet that gives a Valiant effort. Yes. That's right. Well, one other thing I was going to comment, you know, Don, you remember Phil's big thing that does what? Airs up tires, charges batteries.
Yeah.
It's got a light on it. Yeah. Does this pretty soon they'll incorporate the refrigerator in there.
Yeah.
Because have to have a trailer to pull it.
This thing you could plug right into that, I bet
you. Yeah. You could run the fridge off that.
Fridge off of that. Sucker.
I now have it back, and I think I even have the charger for it.
Well, because if you buy a fridge, you won't have the fridge. He's talking about his brother-in-law and father-in-law.
No, actually, the guy that borrowed this is a different guy.
It was
the guy with the Valiant.
And what's kind of neat about this thing too is it's got a two-way switch on it. One position it cools, it gets things cold. In the other position, like if you have food or something that you're carrying somewhere or something,
no, don't tell me it warms things up.
It will heat. So
get out of town.
Yeah. So
you know, it's like
neat.
A guy that said, "What is the smartest thing you've ever seen? Is a thermos bottle that keeps things hot or cold? But how do it know?"
Uh-huh.
I didn't. Yeah. Now see, that's one aspect of it you didn't tell me. So.
Yeah.
How much, Shaw? You know,
got it as a gift. I'm not sure on the price.
What a deal!
Who'd have it? Walmart have it? Walmart?
Yeah, I think they would. Surely they would.
And it heats.
It heats.
Like what?
A can of soup? Yeah, you could put your food down in
it,
you know, that you wanted to keep warm while you were doing whatever.
Get out of town.
It would, I think it said 112 degrees, 120 degrees or so. It would hold it at that temp.
Get those burgers at McDonald's and rush home. And
yeah, you just lay out in the country, man, it'd be the thing to have.
I guess this weekend I'll be have one of those when I have to have one now. So you got one.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to have one.
Battle has to have one.
Well, I'll have to have one.
Yeah. All right.
Bigger than y'all's, probably.
You will not. The only thing that was bigger about you was your bar bill. It was bigger than mine on that damn cruise we just went on. The only thing men brag about being smaller is their cell phones.
That's it.
Anyway, good show, guys.
Good show.
Thank you much.
Time
Michael,
to wrap this thing up.
Say hi to Michael R. Johnson and Craig Hilders. Maybe they'll be listening. I've just spent being indoctrinated by Texas music. Thanks, Don Shaw.
Yeah, man. It was a good one.
To us. Don Patterson.
Yes, sir. Enjoy.
Cruise
it.
Mate Don Patterson. And my bud, Tom Houston.
You're welcome.
Who doesn't drive a Valiant.
Had a good time. I do not.
We'll do it again next week, and we're on several times, so just tune in. ACB Radio, you can hear us anytime. Thanks for listening. I'm Phil Parr. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced for ACB Radio by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.